To take your Bibles this morning, turn to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. That is in the Old Testament, and it is page 301 in your Black Pew Bible. 704 in your Black Pew Bible. I think I called out the next hymn, didn't I? 704. By now, you have found page 704, and we're standing together as we read this morning. Beginning in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, living with Sherry is always an opportunity to learn. Sherry, when we met, was teaching second grade, and I have said that that was just the Lord preparing her to be married to me. But one of the lessons I have learned from Sherry is that treasure is all around you. For example, Sherry has an eagle eye for money that is laying on the ground. She's found everything from a penny to a $20 bill. We can be walking somewhere, and I can be holding her hand, and I can just be talking to her about something that is, you know, that is just so real to me, and suddenly she lets go of my hand and takes off in a straight line and bends over and comes back with some money. She's teaching me to look for it as well. But so far, I do more tripping over parking curbs and stepping off the sidewalk than actually finding any money. When I look on the ground of a parking lot, I see chewing gum, bottle caps, paper, bird droppings, and pull tabs from soda cans. But in the midst of that, Sherry can spot a penny. I see litter, she sees money. I see paper, she sees a $20 bill. Businesses see opportunity, you walk in their store. For example, Thursday morning, I stopped by a local pharmacy to purchase some crackers and a Coke Zero for lunch. This is my receipt. From a local pharmacy. Now, I realize the reason they give you a receipt this long is because they want you to see the opportunities that you did not see. And as I looked at my receipt, here's my crackers, there's my Coke Zero, and somehow a Snicker almond bar got snuck into my order. We'll move on past that part. But here we go. Here's the opportunities that I missed by looking for crackers and a Diet Coke and a Snickers almond bar. If I would have spent $40, I would have got $10 off my purchase. If I would have spent $20 on L'Oreal cosmetics for eyes, face, lips, and nails, I would have got $4 off. If I would have spent $2 off feminine products, I would have... Here's one that hurt my feelings. If I would have spent $3 on Suave hair care, I would have gotten a dollar off. If I would have spent $15 on contact lens solution, I would have got $3 off. If I would have spent $15 on shaving purchases, I would have got $3 off. If I would have spent $22 on facial cleansers, I would have got $5 off. This one kind of hurt my feelings too. I don't even understand this one. If I would have spent $12 on mouthwash, I would have got $2 off. Now this one does work, does fit me. If I would have spent $16 on antacids, heartburn, or stomach remedies, I would have got $3 off. If I would have spent I would have got $2 off photo cards, book prints, CDs or DVDs, and I would have gotten $2.50 off any brand of beauty facial wipes. All those opportunities that I didn't see. All those opportunities in that store that I missed because I was only looking for a pack of crackers and a Coke Zero and somehow a Snicker bar with almonds. I'm convinced that one of the reasons that our expectation levels are so low is because we're not looking for opportunities. Today's text deals with the important connection between expectations and opportunities. Unless you see the opportunity, there is no room for your expectation level to increase. So when you begin looking for opportunities, it gives rise to asking questions. And this is what happened with Ezekiel. There is always that first question. So notice again what we read today. The Spirit of the Lord takes Ezekiel out and sets him down in a valley. And Ezekiel says it was a valley full of bones. And Ezekiel begins to walk through those bones. In other words, Ezekiel didn't just see it from, you know, floating up in space. He now is walking around these bones. There's a thigh bone. There's a shin bone. There's a skeleton. There's some ribs. There's a finger bone. There's a hand bone. There's a foot bone. No, I'm not going to sing that song. But there's all kind of bones laying all around him. And Ezekiel says there was a lot of bones. There were many bones, maybe as if a battle had occurred here some 10 years ago and all the dead bodies were left laying and now all the skin is off of them. The vultures have picked everything off of them and it's just bones. And now they're dry and they're breaking apart and they're disintegrating. And Ezekiel said there were many bones and then he said they were very dry. So after surveying this valley full of dry bones, God asked him the question. And the question that God asked him was this: Son of man, or as we read it, mortal, can these bones live? Can these bones live? God apparently likes to cause us to look at the situations around us because it opens up an opportunity for him to ask us a question. In the book of Genesis, God shows up at Abraham's tent in Genesis chapter 18. And he shows up with two angels who are on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. They stop by the tent of Abraham. And we begin in verse 19. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'There in the tent.' God said, 'I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? And then God asked the question, Abraham, I recognize that you're old. You recognize you're old. Sarah recognizes that you're old. Abraham, I'm sitting in your tent. There's no nursery. There's no little children running around. I recognize that, Abraham. But it leads to this question. And God asked Abraham this question in verse 13. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Jeremiah is imprisoned. The Babylonian army is camped around Jerusalem. They are breaking the wall down. Jeremiah has been imprisoned by the king of Judah because Jeremiah has been prophesying that the Babylonians are coming and they're going to destroy this city and they're going to carry the people off into captivity. And the king feels like Jeremiah is undermining the morale of his soldiers, so he throws Jeremiah in prison. While Jeremiah is in prison, God says to him, and this is this prophet who has been prophesying that God has turned this people over to the Babylonians. This city is going to be destroyed. We're all going to be taken to captivity. And in this situation, God appears to Jeremiah and says, buy some land. Now, that doesn't seem like the time to buy land, does it? It's almost like when a hurricane has just washed your beach house away and somebody shows up and says, I'll buy it. Yeah, but it's underwater right now. I'll buy it. Yeah, but it's going to do this again. That's okay. I'll buy it. I'll build a floating house. And Jeremiah questions God, and he says, God, why are you asking me to buy land? I've been prophesying for years that you're going to turn this land over to the Babylonians. Why do you want me to buy land? And in verse 27 of Jeremiah 32, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And here's the question, is anything too difficult for me? Lazarus is dead. He's been in a tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha have now brought Jesus out to the tomb. And Jesus keeps telling Mary and Martha, Lazarus is going to rise again. And they're both saying to him, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have been dead. But he's dead now. He's gone. It's over. You missed that window of opportunity, Lord. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? God has a tendency to let you come out and see the worst situation of your life, the most painful, difficult, heartbreaking time of your life, and God lets you view it and see it in all of his pain and all of his gore and all of his agony, and then God has the audacity to ask a question, do you believe I can change this? Do you believe I can raise the dead? Do you believe I can give you a son? Do you believe, Jeremiah, that even though I am driving these people out of the land, that I can bring them back? Do you believe? And that's the question. That opportunity cries out to us, and we see opportunity. And Ezekiel's looking at all these dead bones. He doesn't see opportunity. He sees a graveyard. He sees the horror of a battle that had been fought. He sees hundreds, possibly thousands of bones all around him. But God doesn't see that. God sees an opportunity for God to show himself to be God. You see, expectation and opportunity are linked together. When you begin to see the opportunity that God is seeing, it begins to birth expectation within you. Ezekiel saw bones. God saw an army. Jeremiah saw a prison. God saw land. Mary and Martha saw a sealed tomb. Jesus saw a resurrection. Abraham and Sarah saw two old people who were now drawing Social Security and Medicare. God saw a family. What am I seeing? Am I looking for a Coke and a pack of crackers and a candy bar? Or am I seeing opportunity? So what does God say to Ezekiel? Verses 4 through 6, the Lord said to me, prophesy over these bones. Speak to the bones, Ezekiel. It'd been so much easier if the bones had all been together, wouldn't it? It'd been so much easier if maybe Ezekiel had showed up one day after the battle and they still got skin on them, they still got their heads all connected, they've still got hair, I mean, they still all connected together. They just don't have any breath on them. That would have been much easier. You could say, well, Lord, I know you can resurrect them. But God says to Ezekiel, in essence, he says to him, I'm not going to do anything until you do something. So Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. What does it mean? He said to him, prophesy over the bones. What does it mean to prophesy? To prophesy simply means speak to the situation from God's perspective. Speak to the bones, and then he began to say, what he was supposed to say to the bones. Speak to the bones, I'll cause you to come back together. I'll put muscle and tendon and blood vessel and nerves and capillaries and arteries and veins. I'll put a heart back in you, lungs, stomach. I'll put a nose back on you. I'll put ears back on you. I'll put you all back together. And once I put you back together, I'm going to cause breath to come back in you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to resurrect you. Speak to the situation from God's perspective. Paul defined prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:3. He said this, but one who prophesies speaks to men for three things, edification, exhortation, and consolation. To speak to the bones, Ezekiel had to speak what God was saying to the bones, not what Ezekiel wanted to say to the bones. Not what Ezekiel felt, not what Ezekiel saw, but what God was saying. Romans 4:17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and listen to this next part, and calls into being that which does not exist. That's what God does. God looks at a valley of dry bones and sees a mighty army. God looks at a tomb and sees a resurrection. God looks at a prison and sees land. God looks at a couple and sees a family. God looks at your situation and says, I see your situation. I see what's going on, but I see it differently than you see it. Speak what I'm saying. Luke 1:37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Do you grasp the power of God to turn your situation around? Do you grasp the power of God to bring life to where there is death, to bring healing to where there is pain, to bring restoration to where there is division, to bring things back together the way they're supposed to be, just like he did in that valley of dry bones? So many times what I prophesy is I prophesy by what I see rather than what God sees. I speak by what I see. I noticed that God did not say to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, tell me what you see. That wasn't the question. That wasn't the statement. God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? God could see the situation. One of the biggest drawbacks that I have in my own life of faith is that it is very easy for me to talk about what I see and what I feel and what I'm afraid of and what I think might happen, how bad it is and how worse it could be. It's very difficult for me to look at situations in my life and say, but God is able. But God is not restricted. But God is not limited. But God is not bound. But God is not weak. God is not impotent. God is not caught up. God is able. And then God told Ezekiel to do something else. Verse 8 through 10, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. Can you imagine what that must have been like to watch? When these bones start coming together and bones are flying everywhere, and then they start clicking into place. You know how when you crack your knuckles? I told somebody the other day, they said, do you ever go to a chiropractor? I said, you know, Sherry goes to a chiropractor faithfully. And I started going because I was having pain in my neck. And so I'd go to the chiropractor. Well, it started off easy. He put me on this little rolling bed with balls on that you'd lay on it and it'd bounce on you. And I'm thinking, this isn't bad at all. And then after about time three, he came in and you know, he would put his arms under my back and he'd do something. I'd hear my back click. There's nothing to it. And about visit number six, I'm laying on the table. The balls have all rolled over my back. He's turned it off. He reaches over. He hooks my neck, and he does this, and I hear something go pop, 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 pop. I never went back. I mean, because I'm thinking, man, do I still have feelings? He scared me. I can't imagine what it must have been like that day for Ezekiel when he's hearing bones clicking into place and joints clicking into place, and he's standing there watching this body come into place, and all of a sudden muscles start growing and tendons start growing, and then skin comes over it and fingernails come, and this body comes back together. But God's not through yet. He's told to prophesy a second time. He said, sinews were on them, flesh grew, skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. If the word of God is the power of God, the Holy Spirit is the life of God. We talk a great deal about the Father. We talk a lot about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is sort of the one that we kind of keep over here because we're not really sure. The word that throws us off is Spirit. And even sometimes people say, I grew up, they would say the Holy Ghost. That makes it even more scary. And we're not sure what the Holy Spirit may do. But Ezekiel shows us what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit represents the life of God. John 6, verse 63, Jesus said this, it is the Spirit who gives life. And then these next four words, I want you to make sure you hear these next four words. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. When you begin to speak over your situation, and you begin to speak, Lord, you see my sickness. You see what the doctor has said. But Lord, there's nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, you see what's going on in my finances. You see, Lord, that I'm struggling, that sometimes there's more month than money. But Lord, there's nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, you see my family situation, what's going on. You see how bad it is, Lord, how painful it is. But Lord, there's nothing too hard for you to do. As your words, as you and I begin to speak about the life and the power of God, something begins to change. Listen to what Solomon said. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15, 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you begin to speak about the power of God, and you begin to speak life into that situation, and you begin to speak the breath of God into that situation. Holy Spirit, I can't do anything else. I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, you know. And I'm just going to use an example, so please don't think I'm telling your story. I'm picking an example. You've got a daughter that you haven't heard from in years. You don't know where she is. You don't know what's going on in her life. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit knows right where she's at. Holy Spirit knows where she is. And so what do I do in that situation? I get on my knees. Lord, I'm praying for my daughter. You know where she is, God. I don't know where she is. She's cut off communication with me. But Holy Spirit, you see her right now. You see where she is. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to touch her heart and turn her heart back toward you, Lord, and bring this family back together, Lord. You don't have to see it. All you've got to do is release the Holy Spirit to do what you cannot do. Listen, you're not the only one that's got family problems. I pray for my sons. So I'm just going to share something with you from my heart. I have not seen my grandchildren in over 3 years. Because my sons were determined that I would never pastor a church again. And so what Sherry and I do, every morning, every night, Holy Spirit, you see my boys. You know where they are. You see our grandchildren. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, I prayed every Sunday morning, Lord, I'm asking that my sons would be in church today and let them hear your word and let it touch their hearts. And Lord, any pain that I have put in their hearts, Lord, you bring healing into that area. You have to release the Holy Spirit to do what you can't do. The Holy Spirit's not against you. The Holy Spirit's for you. The Holy Spirit is wanting to accomplish the will of God in your life and in their life. And sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I can't do anymore. But Holy Spirit, you're not bound. What my son, what my daughter's in, this sickness I'm in, this financial bind I'm in, this pressure I'm in at my work, Lord, it's not too hard for you. Holy Spirit, you do what I cannot do. And that's what God was getting across to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, is just in your perspective, it's a valley of dry bones that represents failure and death and pain and agony and sorrow. But Ezekiel, if you'll let me do what I can do, I'll turn them into an army. If you let God do what only God can do, there's no situation that God can't turn around. But you got to look for the opportunity. You got to look for the opportunity. And then you have to allow that opportunity to release your expectation. Because I want to say it once again, God can exceed your expectations. You know, if you were looking for opportunity, you'd never go to a valley of dry bones. But it was the very place that God brought Ezekiel to increase his faith, to lift up his expectation level. So how about you? Are you in a valley of dry bones? Do you see any God-sized opportunities in your life? Is it possible that God allowed you to be in this very valley so your expectation level would increase? Stop talking, and I'm reading what I typed here. Stop talking to yourself about what you're going to do and begin talking to yourself about what God can do. Join me in prophesying to dry bones, to dead situations, to broken relationships, to broken bodies, to broken homes, to broken finances. I hear the Holy Spirit saying to us today, can these bones live? And I love what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel had just enough faith to not say no, but not enough faith to say yes. He said, Lord, you know. How about your situation? How about your valley? Maybe all you can say as you look at your situation is this, Lord, you know. You know. Father, I thank you today for every valley of dry bones. Lord, we look and we see the pain and the suffering and the agony, and we look at situations and say, nothing will ever change. It's always going to be like this. But Lord, you look at that same situation and you say, can these bones live? Can I solve this problem? Can I heal this body? Can I restore this relationship? Lord, I pray today that we would begin to speak to the bones and we would begin to prophesy to the breath, blow, breath of God. Holy Spirit, go do your work. Go do what we cannot do. Go reach into homes that we cannot reach. Go reach into lives that we cannot touch. Go reach into situations that are beyond our capability and are beyond our resources. Reach into them, Holy Spirit. Blow, breath of God, into our lives, into the lives of our families, into the lives of our friends, and into these situations, Lord, where we look and all we see are the consequences. Lord, you see a mighty army. So may our expectation levels increase as we see the opportunities in our lives for you to show yourself strong. That which we have regretted, that which we have cursed, that which has angered us, Lord, I pray for each of us that we would reach the place where we would say like Ezekiel did, Lord, you know, you know. In Jesus' name, amen.